Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Tuesday, September 29th, 2015. I'm your host, Scott Burton, in for Ben Brown. On today's show, we'll talk with Martha Redbone about her Wednesday night performance. We'll get the details about upcoming classes at the Learning Connection. Clint Farr will be here to highlight his new book, Beers of the North. We'll talk with Colette Costa about Wildlike, a new Alaskan film showing at the Gold Town. And Floyd Dryden Principal Jim Thompson and DZ Principal Molly Yerkes will be here to talk about the Think Kindness program. Those interviews, National Native News Writers Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon. Currently 58 in Hoonah, 55 in Gustavus, and 56 here in Juno.
This is National Native News. I'm Tara Gatewood. Efforts to improve tribal-state relations and new economic development in Indian Country are continuing in South Dakota. The Secretary of State is reaching out to tribes and forming new memorandum of agreements that will help tribal governments maintain commercial codes that are a foundation for economic development. Charles Michael Ray reports.
Say you're a lender or a bank, and you want to know if a mortgage application you're considering regarding a property has another outstanding loan. This is one area where a Uniform Commercial Code, or UCC, comes in. For years, tribes didn't have universal commercial codes, and this made starting a tribal business or getting a home loan much more difficult. And this is something the Secretary of State, Chantel Krebs, wants to remedy.
One of my goals and missions in the Secretary of State's office is to continue building relationships with our tribes across South Dakota to provide the Uniform Commercial Code filing service. We are wanting to build the relationship to provide that service for tribes across South Dakota at no charge.
Krebs is working out Memorandum of Agreements, or MOAs, with each tribal government in the state to help implement UCCs. Tanya Fiddler is with the Four Bands Community Fund. She's a leader in Indian Country economic development. Fiddler says the Secretary of State's office is taking a positive step. She adds that more work is needed to increase the power of tribal courts that can ensure uniform commercial codes are kept.
If we want to be successful developers, it's worth tribes investing in their courts development once they enter into these agreements like a UCC. So not only is this first effort for, you know, developing an MOA so that UCCs come into place, but it will be interesting to see what the state can do for resource and support in building out the capacity of the tribal court system.
Fiddler says that the new State Tribal Economic Development Task Force that was created last year is also a positive move forward. She says while challenges remain, there is a large potential for new tribal economic development across the board. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
The U.S. Secretary of Agriculture is visiting the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota today. Tom Vilsack will tour the Oglala Lakota College and Thunder Valley Community Development Corporation. Vilsack is set to announce new federal funding for economic development. Earlier this year, the Obama administration designated Pine Ridge as a promise zone to increase economic activity. The initiative also aims to improve educational opportunities, leverage private investment, reduce violent crime, and enhance public health, as well as address other community priorities. New Mexico tribes are welcoming a group of indigenous people from Guatemala and sharing their language and culture with the visitors. Isla de Pueblo, south of Albuquerque, is hosting Maya people and guests from the U.S. State Department today. The group is visiting Isleta Elementary School to learn about the Tiwa language. The school has a new Tiwa language program. Tribal leaders are also taking part in the event. The State Department and the 15-member group of Maya people are traveling to various pueblos in New Mexico. There are 19 pueblos in the state. Participants at a gathering in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada this week are honoring murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls and focusing on ways to address the issue. The Spirit of Our Sisters National Gathering includes a number of speakers, advocates, and First Nations community members and leaders. A fundraising campaign was recently launched for communities to address the issue at the grassroots level, as First Nation leaders continue to pressure the federal government for a national investigation. I'm Tara Gatewood.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Darren Gold, Jimaho Kuluguyut, Bijikia Gat, Guskok Fim, Guih Bim, Shua Wat Digni, Jaleng Nako Rashata Kaingagun.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Tuesday, September 29th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host. And I've been joined in the studio now by Martha Redbone, just off the plane from Brooklyn. Welcome to Juneau.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. Was it nicer weather in Brooklyn?
Yeah, it was. We're still hanging in there the last few days of autumn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're going to be playing tomorrow night over at the Jack at 7:30. You'll be playing as a trio with Aaron and Alan, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Aaron Whitby, my longtime collaborator, partner, and my husband. And he'll be playing piano. And we have Alan A.B. Burrows on guitar.
Okay. We've been spinning your album quite a bit over here at the station, The Garden of Love Songs of William Blake. So we've heard a few of your tunes. How would you describe your style of music for us?
You know, it's really funny. You know, at the end of the day, I kind of call it soul music because it's like food for the soul. But I would consider it really roots music, a mixture of roots Americana music. And what I mean by Americana is, you know, founded on all the music that has entered the region of Appalachia over, you know, history, over centuries. So it's a little bit of folk, meaning Scots, Irish, English, blues, Piedmont blues, mountain music, country, soul, everything all mixed together.
Okay. I thought maybe we could play a little sample of your music just to give folks an idea of what we're talking about. You want to set this one up for us? You mentioned maybe we listen to The Garden of Love itself.
Sure, yes. This is the title track of our album, The Garden of Love, Songs of William Blake. That was written with my partner Aaron Whitby and John McEwen, and also produced by John McEwen of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, which people might be more familiar with. And John was amazing. We had a great time making this record, and we were very lucky to have him take time out of his busy schedule to do it. So this is the title track, The Garden of Love.
Martha, what do you think about as you listen to this tune?
Well, I remember recording. I had just gotten out of the hospital with pneumonia, and I didn't know how I was going to have a voice. And then I went down to Nashville, where the weather was just warm and beautiful, and the energy in the studio was amazing. We had Byron House on bass and Mark Stevens on guitars. Byron House plays with, right now he's out with Amy Lou Harris, and he's also played with Robert Plant and his Band of Joy. And Mark Stevens plays with Alison Krauss, and he's, you know, at the Grand Ole Opry. I mean, these are like amazing veteran Nashville guys, you know, and we were really lucky to have John, you know, as a veteran himself with these, like we say, friends in low places, you know. So it was really a wonderful experience. It makes me smile every time I hear it.
And so that song right there, The Garden of Love, is based off a poem by William Blake called The Garden of Love. How did you fall in love with his work?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, you know, they made us study William Blake in school, and then you know how you just study enough just to pass the test and you forget about it. But then lo and behold, you know, you get to high school and you get it again, and then you get to college and then they give it to you again. And then we started working on this album project, and it was actually my husband Aaron Whitby who rediscovered this, the anthology on our bookshelves. And we have tons and tons of books at home, and we were looking for a couple of song ideas, and he found it was Aaron who found the book, and it opened up immediately to the poem A Poison Tree. And then when you look at the lyrics of A Poison Tree, he thought, damn, this could be a cool idea. Maybe we could, you know, set some music to this poem. And when you look at A Poison Tree, it's about, you know, friends and your foe, and, you know, friends and enemies, and what happens when you harbor resentments. And so, you know, being from Appalachia, in the land of the Hatfields and the McCoys, you know, somebody's always fussing with somebody. So we said, that's perfect. And then we ended up being inspired by so many of Blake's poems. And we thought, this is too good to just stop at just one or two songs. And so we basically ended up making a collection of his works and setting them to the music.
Okay. What can folks expect tomorrow night? Martha, what are you thinking about doing?
We always have a great time. I mean, Alan A.B. Burroughs has been our guitarist for, I would say, about 15 years. And so we are like family. We are like brother and sister. And our voices, his voice is incredible, and our voices really blend well together. And the music is really, really earthy and raw and real honest. And so we kind of plan on taking you to church and back again. And, you know, that's Church of Appalachia, so, you know, anything's bound to happen. You know, a lot of hooting and hollering and audience participation. And you know, this is congregational singing, just like how it would be in a church in Appalachia. And then we send you home with a cup of hot cocoa, and I hear there'll be or some apple cider or cinnamon that I hear might be going. That's one of my favorite things. So.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. This is 7:30 on Wednesday night across the street from K2 here at the Jack. Before the show, we touched briefly about your upcoming musical that you're starting to work on. Can you tell us briefly about that? Because I think it explains well. You have such a great heritage, mixed heritage.
Yeah. We got a commission from Joe's Pub and the Public Theater through a program called New York Voices. And we decided after our album, The Garden of Love, Songs of William Blake, we decided, you know, I still felt like continuing the theme of honoring culture and heritage. You know, we live in a time in the world where we're all recognizing that we are global citizens. And not many people know the real stories of America. You know, there were a lot of things that were omitted in history books, and namely, you know, a lot of history that's kind of ugly and kind of dark. And a lot of that has to do with my family and my culture. I mean, we're Native American and African American and also English. And people don't realize that when we say America is a land for all people who've come from everywhere together, you know, we are, all of us are of everything. You know, there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of the other. And so these are things that, I guess, through government policies over the centuries, things have been skewed and changed and, you know, frankly lied about for personal gain or financial gain or whatever the laws of the state commanded at any particular time in the history of the country. And so we realized that in our little family in them thar hills, we are a product of all of that, and it's kind of an American story that's never been told but has always been here. And so we're doing a story based on the stories of my family history.
Okay.
And it's called Bone Hill.
Keep an eye out for that. Your website, Martha?
MarthaRedbone.com.
All right.
Yes.
In the meantime, you can see her and her great friends and collaborators play tomorrow night at the Jack at 7:30. Tickets are at thejack.org, J-A-H-C.org. Sounds like it's going to be a really fun show.
It's going to be great.
Martha, what track should we go out on here?
Let's go on. We can go out on Hear the Voice of the Bard.
All right, you remember what? Oh, here we go. All right, Martha, anything else?
I just want to say thank you to K2 for your support, for playing our music, and I'm really excited to be here, and I'm looking forward to sharing our music with you guys tomorrow night.
All right, we'll see you then. Bye.
We hear the voice of the bard, whose present, past, and future sees. Ears have heard the holy word that walked among the ancient trees, calling the lasso and weeping in the evening dew, that might control the starry pole and fallen like renew.
This is Bird Note. One crow is just a crow. Two make a pair. Three might be a crowd, but a group of crows is called a murder. A fitting name for this bunch of rascals. How did such a name come about? According to James Lipton, author of An Exaltation of Larks, these names, called collective nouns, have been around for hundreds of years. Others believe that the Victorians invented many of these names as a fanciful parlor game. Collective nouns are a mixture of poetry, alliteration, and description. These labels are not used by ornithologists, but they add a bit of fun to the study of birds, don't you think? If you've ever watched a parade of swans on a lake, you can see why it's called a wedge of swans. Bold, raucous jays make up a party of jays. Many names bring an image of the birds instantly to mind. A stare of owls, a company of parrots, a spring of teal. Now, here's one that might be misnamed. Do you think all this noise should be called a murmuration of starlings? So, what would a group of Bird Note listeners be? What's your suggestion? Let us know at birdnote.org.
Support comes from North End Audiology and Hearing Services, working with medical professionals to diagnose hearing disorders and prescribe solutions. North End Audiology and Hearing Services. Information at 789-6780.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, September 29th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 23 minutes after the hour. I've been joined in the studio now from folks from the Learning Connection at CIRC. Aura Landau, she's the communications director. Welcome, Aura.
Hello, thank you.
Yeah, and Joanne Bloom, she is an instructor at the Learning Connection. Welcome, Joanne.
Hi, thank you.
Nice to have you both here. So maybe start with you, Aura. Give us a little overview of what the Learning Connection at CIRC is.
Sure. It's such a great group of teachers down there. At the Learning Connection, the teachers there provide free personalized tutoring, classes, and employment services. And that's for anybody looking to switch jobs, looking to up their job skills, looking to put any element of education into their life plan. We help them do that on a personalized level and then with classes.
Okay, and physically, where are you located?
Yeah, that's a good question. We're right on the bus line here downtown. We're across from Moraine Park on Ferry Way, really easy to get to, and we're actually very easy to find online, too. You just look for Adult Education Juno, and we're the first thing that pops up in your search engine. But our center, Learning Center, is open from 9 in the morning till noon, and it is then open from 1 to 4:30 in the afternoon. So we've got a lot of different kinds of things we offer.
And is that Monday through Friday?
That is Monday through Friday. Right. Yeah, and then we have a number of classes that we offer. We've just started up our fall session of classes. Almost all of our services are free, and we've got classes for adult education. I'll let Joanne talk a bit about those.
Yeah.
We just started classes yesterday, and boy, we had a wonderful turnout for us. The classes are very small, so a wonderful turnout with 7 to 10 students. And I teach math myself, and I had a lot of students in there that said, oh, I can't do math. I've never figured math out. And I think at the end of the hour, they were kind of changing their mind because we chunk it into small bits, and they're all digestible, and we've got three different levels of math going. And if you come in at 10 o'clock, that's kind of an entry-level math class, and at 11 o'clock, it's a little more advanced. And then if you stay with us while we continue to be open, you can get some one-on-one help with math or request a tutor.
Okay. Joanne, what's your background? What drew you to teaching adults?
You know, I started out as a volunteer. I really did there. I was matched with a Korean woman who wanted to learn English, and that was a lot of fun for me. And next, I knew I was teaching small English as a second language classes, and then it just kind of grew from there. And we still continue with our English as a Second Language program. That's very popular, and we offer that both out at Greening Park. Sometimes that's more convenient for people, or at our downtown Learning Connection Center. And we also offer citizenship classes, which it's kind of like an advanced English / citizenship.
It sounds like you enjoy what you do.
We love it. It's so rewarding, and we have a good group down there, and it's fun.
Aura, you said that you're looking for volunteers, and that's how you started, right, Joanne?
Correct.
And you're always looking for more volunteer teachers?
Absolutely. We love our volunteers. They're so fabulous at helping really turn the light on for people, you know, connect them to the learning that the students want and need to have to get where they're going in life. And we're looking for volunteers for adult education, but also we offer a homework club for, I think it's elementary and elementary school students in Greening Park. And we have so many kids, and they're hungry to learn. They're there from 3 to 4:30, and we're looking for volunteers to come and work with them, and it's such a fun center.
Remind me again the best way to get in contact with you for these volunteers.
Well, you can call us. That's 586-5718. And you can also go on our website. We've got a volunteer application form there. And that's, again, you can just search. You can Google for Adult Education Juno, or our website address is www.serrc.org/T LC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remind us also once more, what's the kind of person that's going to benefit from your services?
Sure. Oh, well, we work with young parents, new immigrants, low-income families, laid-off workers, elders looking to get back into the workforce, those who haven't completed high school and want a diploma. We work with people who are looking to shift careers, you know, who want to up their skills, who want to move, get more computer skills. We have a couple of different programs we haven't mentioned yet. Along with the math that Joanne talked about in English as a Second Language, we also have reading and writing skills. And, you know, we even have some people who have gotten graduated from college or from high school who are looking to up their skills before they go to college. They may be taking a year off, or they want to just, you know, be at a higher level getting into college. They come to us for our free courses for that. We offer job assistance for youth age 16 to 21, and so that's education support and job search assistance and internships. We offer the Junior Construction Academy, so anybody looking to get into construction trades can get free training and networking and connect into apprenticeships. Something that's really popular are the computer classes we offer, and we change it up each month. In October, we're going to be having Basic Word and then just Basic Introduction to Computers, so how to, you know, be secure in your, you know, online browsing, and how to use your computer, how to use your keyboard, those kinds of basic skills that sometimes people don't have.
Sounds like a lot of resources.
We do. And then there's driver's training. You know, we're heading into the season where you really want to know how to drive safely. So anybody looking to get their permits and looking to up their driving skills can come and get training with us. So, yeah, there's a lot there. It's pretty much anything that you need and that's education related, we can offer, and usually for free.
So if someone's interested, they can call 586-5718, or they can drop in from Monday through Friday between 9 and 12 and 1 and 4:30.
Absolutely.
Or find you on the web.
Absolutely. And just want to shout out to our volunteers and to Mudrooms for supporting us this season. And it's October 13th is the next Mudrooms, and all the proceeds come to us. So thanks, Juno. Thanks, Mudrooms. And thanks, Scott.
Yeah, thank you, Aura. Joanne, anything else you want to add?
I would like to add a couple things that we do have an open lab every Tuesday and Thursday for people that are job searching, and they can come down, get on our computers, get one-on-one help, help with their resume, help see what's available here in town, help with the applications. Again, that's all free. And then this month, the GED program, and we used to be known as the GED Center, but we seem to be helping a much larger population right now. But if you don't have a high school diploma and you'd like to get one, they have a promotion this month with free, or not free, but $1, practically free, GED testing. And you can find that either by going to our center or going online for the GED Ready Test.
All right. Joanne Bloom and Orlando from the Learning Connection at CIRC, thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Bye.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 29th of September,
2015. It's the feast day of Saint Michael, and a day when people used to have a goose dinner. And there was an old English proverb, if you eat goose on Michaelmas Day, you will never want money all the year round. It's the birthday of the physicist Enrico Fermi, born in Rome, 1901. He was a favorite of Mussolini, and he became the first professor of theoretical physics in Italy. Mussolini named him to the Royal Academy of Italy. But as Italy became more closely allied with Nazi Germany, Fermi was worried for the safety of his wife Laura, who was Jewish. In 1938, he got the Nobel Prize in Physics, and the Fermis used that as an excuse to emigrate from Italy. They wound up in the United States, where he began work on nuclear reactors, and showed that it was possible to initiate a controlled chain reaction that would produce energy, and also possible to create an uncontrolled reaction that would leave great devastation. Fermi went to work on the Manhattan Project to develop the first atomic bomb. It's the birthday of Gene Autry, born near Tioga, Texas, 1907, made his debut on the silver screen in a quartet in the movie In Old Santa Fe in 1934. Served as a transport pilot during World War II, flying missions over the Himalayas near Burma. And after the war, did a long-running radio show on CBS and made many, many movies. It's believed to be the birthday today of Cervantes, Miguel de Cervantes, born near Madrid, 1547, who in 1595, when he was in prison for a crime he did not commit, embezzlement, got the idea for his great masterpiece Don Quixote, about a middle-aged man, Don Quixote, who's read so many romance novels he comes to believe they're true, and he sets out upon a career as a knight with a farmer he knows named Sancho Panza. It's the birthday of the novelist Elizabeth Gaskell, born in London, 1810, famous in Victorian times. Her first novel, Mary Barton, came out in 1848, which shocked many readers for its realistic look at the life of the impoverished. Charles Dickens was a big fan of hers. And it's the birthday of Colin Dexter, born Lincolnshire, England, 1930, author of 15 mystery novels, each one starring Inspector Morse, who is educated, morose, and has a weakness for beer and for women. Here's a poem for today, an untitled poem by Athena Kildegard. We drove across high prairie, the Mississippi behind us, nothing ahead for miles but sky, a loamy sky, thick enough to put a trowel into, but off to the south, clouds pulled away from one another, as if to stand back, take a long look, and in that space, what light was left of the sun, already gone below the horizon, flowed up and held there, and we did too, hold our breaths at the sudden beauty. A poem by Athena Kildegard from her collection Cloves and Honey, published by Noden Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by TIAA Cref, a global financial company dedicated to delivering financial outcomes that matter. TIAA Cref, created to serve, built to perform. Learn more at TIAA.org. And by Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem solving to calculate baseline scores. Learn more at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Tuesday, September 29th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host today, in for Ben Brown, and it's about 25 minutes until the top of the hour. Joining me now in the studio is Quint Farr. He wears many hats. He is an irregular Juno Empire columnist. he is an adjunct professor out at UAS. He is an actor, a writer, and a crash manager with DOT. But right now, he's a writer, a co-author of Beers of the North. Welcome to the show, Clint.
Thank you, Scott.
What'd I miss?
No, that's father.
Father.
Yeah.
That's probably
that's sort of like 90% of the whole thing. Yeah.
And important.
Yeah, and in every way. 90, you know, it is the thing.
But yeah. I bet being a father inspires you to have a beer from time to
every, time. Every once in a while, maybe not daily, but yes, a beer is very nice to have on occasion, absolutely.
And so you just produced this guide, and correct me if I'm wrong with my description, First Edition, Beers of the North, a field guide to Alaska and the Yukon.
Yes, we're trying to be the Rick Steves of beer. We want to, you know, nice little... upbeat descriptions of the breweries around the state that are both informative and, yeah, a good read. We want it to be a good read. So, Beers of the North, it's published locally with Shorefest Publications, and I think that's, Shorefest Editions, excuse me. And, we're very pleased with how it came out. The I don't know if you've had a chance to go through it, but the cover art, which is really nice, was done by a lady that lives in Skagway, Courtney Birdsall Clifford, and the design was Sarah Asper Smith. And, you know, just a lot of work went into this, and it's just a nice little book.
I noticed on the front cover is a checklist, a beer checklist. Mm-hmm. So like a birder mm-hmm. has their checklist of birds
yes.
that they see you have.
Yes.
A beer checklist.
Yes, where you're trying to be the Audubon Society of beer with this book. That's the goal. And, you know, and why not? Audubon Society's great.
You have a selection you can read for us?
Sure. Let me just read the first paragraph of the introduction. It gives you an idea of what we're trying to do here, maybe the playfulness. It must have been a thirsty ancestor who discovered beer, wandering the wilderness, coming upon a depression of fermenting vegetation, taking a desperate sip to quench a crushing thirst, and thinking, that's pretty good. It's a wonder we ever benefited from the discovery when once sated, our ancestor stumbled home, singing at the top of her lungs, with hungry lions and tigers and bears nearby.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Do we hear that voice throughout the guide?
A little bit, yes. I tried to insert the sort of a goofy, again, but we're trying to be informative, look. You know, I grew up in Alaska. I love this state. I grew up in Anchorage, and I've lived in Juneau for nearly 20 years, visited Fairbanks a lot, been to the villages. You know, this is such a great, great state, and to have an opportunity to talk about the state that I love, because a lot of this book is just little vignettes on Alaska and where the breweries are situated. And so that was a lot of fun. And then to just support this booming industry in some way that I think is, you know, you were in desperate need of a diversification of our economy, right? And why not breweries, right? So just to be able to help that process along, it's very exciting. It's very fun.
The research must have been brutal.
Brutal. Brutal. In truth be told, a lot of the research was surveys. So sorry, not every beer did I taste, but I plan on correcting that gap.
And you are doing a signing this first Friday at Hearthside, is that
Hearthside,
right?
Hearthside, downtown. We're doing a signing, and yes, so come on by. I don't think there's going to be beer there, because that's probably not legal, but there is a bar right across the street. So, you know, come on by. I'll sign it. I'll try to be witty. No guarantees. I'll probably be tired. And there you go.
And published by local Shorefest Editions.
Yes.
Shout out to Katrina Pearson
yes,
and company,
absolutely.
Right?
Thank you, Katrina. Yeah. Katrina was the one that brought me on board.
Well, this looks like fun. Check it out this first Friday at Hearthside Books. What time are you planning on getting there?
5 to 7, I believe, are the official hours.
Clint Farr, thank you so much for
thank
coming in.
Thank you very much, Scott.
All right.
show off their charcoal scratches, got tangled in my wires.
Listening to the Anna Lynch Band. She's going to be one of six bands playing in Falltoberfest this weekend. Over at the Rockwell Ballroom, she'll be playing Friday night. And the concert starts at 7 o'clock. And you can buy tickets at the alaskafolkfest.org. Other bands include the Downtown String Band, Goldwing, Rumblefish, Cold Country, and the Great Alaska String or Bluegrass Band. Check it out. Should be a fun weekend of music. Again, go to akfolkfest.org for tickets. And joining me now in the studio is the executive producer at the Goldtown Theater.
Love it.
Yeah?
Does that work? I love every new title you come up with for me.
The one, the only, Colette Costa.
I thought you were going to say the executor of your will.
The executive
Which
goddess.
I would also do.
The executive queen.
I was also the executive creator of the Falltober poster. And,
no kidding. It's good looking.
It has a good lineup.
You're great at posters, among other things.
Yeah, not so much, but it's passable. Yeah. That's going to be a great lineup.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that.
I am too.
Yeah,
it's a fun weekend of music, even the Karen Ann Spotlight after that. Let's talk about that in a minute, because we're here
that.
To talk about the theater
live.
And Wildlike.
Wildlike. I think I have a new theory that wild is the new Hot Topic word to have in the title of something. Wild.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wild K2.
Wild. You guys need to be Wild K2.
Wild.
There's like six movies that are coming out called Wild. Like
Wild
I've had
Goldtown.
A number of people inquire whether or not Reese Witherspoon is in this film, and it's like that is just Wild. It was called Just Wild. No, it's Wild. It's a Wild film. This is Wild Like, one word, capital L on the like. Not sure why. I'm going to ask the director Frank Hall Green that very question tomorrow after our screening.
And this was filmed here in Juneau and Denali, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was. It was filmed, I think this was summer before last. They were up here. It was a very short, from what I can tell, a very short production here, maybe 3 weeks. A lot of stuff at the Glacier. The airport figures prominently, as does a certain unnamed hotel.
Did you know they were here?
Did I know they were here? I did not.
Yeah.
But you know what? There was a bunch of stuff happening. They were shooting, I feel like there was another big production that it had either just come or gone, and I had been talking with a casting director about doing something. And they kind of, you know, I have to say, which was kind of impressive. Like normally, you know, these productions are pretty intrusive. And I think that's part of his style of filmmaking is to just sort of keep things very together and close-knit and create that atmosphere. But he does a great job of sort of nailing, not that it's particularly Juno-centric, but he said he wanted... The movie actually takes place in Denali. That was where his inspiration was, a trip that he had taken to Denali National Park some years ago, and he just loved just the size of it and the enormity of it, and he really wanted to have a story there, but of course it needed a jumping-off point, and so the director is also the writer. He does a great writing job. And so he's looking at a place to begin the story, and... He had been to Juneau once before. He loved the look of it. He thought it was a great intro to Alaska, and he loved the differences between Southeast and Central. And he plays on that.
Let's see. You're going to show this film tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. And tonight.
And tonight.
And Sunday.
And you're actually going to speak with Frank Hall Green.
We are.
The director-writer.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
exciting.
He's going to do a live video Skype. If you've never been to one of those at our place, it's kind of cool. We get the whole video thing up on the big screen. So Frank's head is going to be, you know, 15 feet across. And then, of course, we have our little camera so he can see into the theater. And this is going to be slightly less Q&A and a little more interview style. I have a number of things I want to ask him. And tomorrow's Skype will be after the 7 o'clock show. That show will, both of these shows, today and tomorrow, are going to be very, I think they're going to be, God willing, very crowded. So please don't do a Juno and show up at 7:05 and then get mad at me when I can't put you in there. Then there's also two shows on Sunday, 4:30 p.m. and 7 p.m., and we're going to do another live video Skype with Frank, with Mr. Green, in between the two shows. So right at about 6:15, we'll give him a call, we'll have a little chat with him then, and then go into the 7 o'clock show.
Beyond the title, what's one more question you're going to ask him?
What was the title? I already forgot it. Oh, I got to write this. That's why I always tweet when I do this, because I forget.
You're going to ask him a question about Wildlike, I think.
I know, I'm kidding.
Okay.
I got a great little list going on. I'll tell you what he's got. He's put together a really great, not quite A-list cast, but with some A-list people in it. I mean, Bruce Greenwood is wonderful. He's been in all the new Star Treks. You know, my God, he was in St. Elsewhere. Give me a break. He's awesome. And he's got a couple character actors in there who are top-notch. In fact, one of them was just named by AV Club as one of the best character actresses in contemporary times. She's awesome. So I want to talk to him about casting. He used a lot of some local musicians. I want to ask him about that. There was another really good question. I want to ask him if he moved the polar bear at the airport, if they moved it for him, was a big one. And just to let him know, you know, we're paying attention.
Briefly call
wiggle,
it.
Wiggle, wink, wink.
I don't think we even said what the movie's about.
Hubba, hubba.
Can you give us a little synopsis?
Oh, of course. My God, I came here with a synopsis tattooed on my arm. It is the story of a young girl, a teenager who is whose mother is in Seattle, goes into rehab, so sends the daughter to stay with an uncle in Juneau, Alaska. The uncle is not a great guy, and so Mackenzie is her name. She runs away sort of latches on to this guy who's traveling through Alaska, and through the miracle of the modern cinema, with no money, ID, or help, ends up in Denali. And they actually make it, they actually make it plausible. Like, we know how impossible. I know people who live here their whole lives, never been to Denali. They actually make it pretty plausible. So, and she goes to Denali, and they have a, you know, he's also kind of got some wounds that he's trying to heal, and so they, you know, become like an erstwhile father-daughter road trip, emotional journey. But meanwhile, the uncle's trying to find her, so there's a bit of a thriller kind of thing in there. And they also do a really spectacular job of making Alaska look as good as it is.
Nice.
They got some bears up in there.
Support your local art house theater.
And your local true, true independent American filmmaker, for real.
Tonight at the Goldtown Theater, 7 p.m. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. with a live talk with Frank Hall Green. How many showings on Sunday?
Two on Sunday, and then I just added Monday and Wednesday of next week, and And also, Mr. Farr right here, Clint Farr, just wrote his own independent review that will be out on Thursday. So if you don't trust me, listen to him. He's way smarter than I am.
And we have a concert on Tuesday, but we get
big time
at the Gold Town, 7 o'clock, Dynamic Duos.
Next Tuesday.
We're going to talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Thank you, Colette Costa.
Thank you,
Scott
Burton.
I wish I had more time.
I wish you had some carob chocolate to give me.
With you. It's so fun.
Me too. Oh, just, I'm so much fun.
Bye.
Oh.
Listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, September 29th, 2015. It's about 7 minutes until the top of the hour. Scott Burton in for Ben Brown today, and I've been joined in the studio now by Foy Dryden Principal, Mr. Jim Thompson, and DZ Principal, Molly Yerkes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Good afternoon, Scott.
It's nice to have both of you here. Today we're here to talk about the Think Kindness program. What's it all about?
So it's an initiative that our counselor, Chrissy Walker, brought to Zantakahini. And the whole mission is to really inspire students to be kind to one another, and then hopefully the ripple effect will trickle out to the community as well.
Okay.
Yeah, my counselor, Kelly Hansen, came to me last spring and said there's this really cool opportunity for someone to come up from down south and change the conversation about how we treat one another in our school. And she told me it was a program called Think Kindness, and we would have 15 days to really focus on being kind to one another. And we've done things day by day. We had High Five Friday, Fist Bump Day, say hi to someone you don't know. And so we've done some things every single day to make students really kind of focus on being kind to one another.
And this is a national movement, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, and it's international as well. The originator, Brian Williams, he lives in Reno, Nevada. He started this initiative by doing some work in Africa and organizing a shoe drive. And so this kindness kind of just really became infectious. And so we started this program, and we're doing a canned food drive for 15 days. We actually have some friendly competition between Zantakahini and Foy Dryden, and we wanted to build some community within our middle schools, that our schools and our kids matter, and kindness matters for our middle school kids.
What's this look like in the halls to the two of you? Are kids reacting well to it? Do they get behind this?
They really have. We've had students who have been doing all kinds of just little random acts of kindness, but they make such a difference to one another. Just little things like writing little positive notes and putting them in each other's lockers, and things like, you know, hey, thanks so much for smiling at me in the hallway. It made my day. And as far as the canned food drive, the students and families have just been incredibly generous. We're really hoping to make a big contribution to the food bank here in Juneau.
And it ends up being a 15-day sort of program, is that right?
Yeah, and focusing on it, Molly mentioned that we had to write a note to a teacher, students purposefully identifying someone who's kind to them and showing kindness back. And I got a really nice note from a sixth grade student that I barely know that now every day she's coming up to me and sat building that relationship and community piece that this kindness campaign has really kind of changed the dynamics of Floyd Dryden. We have kids that are purposefully being more kind, and it's been amazing.
Great. And so it's already officially started? Yeah, is that right?
Canned Food Drive ends tomorrow, and so we have a big push at Floyd Dryden to help the cause, and the proceeds will go to a worthy cause.
Sounds good. What can we do as a community, or what can parents do if they're listening right now to support this?
I would say, since we're focusing on a canned food drive, that if you feel moved, drop off a canned food, non-perishable item at either school, and it'll go to a good cause.
And this is by the end of the day tomorrow? Or,
yeah. Sure.
Yeah. That'd be wonderful. And I think also just the message, you know, conversations with your kids about slowing down, just taking the time to think about your interactions with others and what you can do to make them feel good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I really want to thank both of you and all of your teachers for the hard work that you do in the middle schools.
Absolutely. We got some amazing people, and Molly is an amazing person to work with.
Great. I wish we had more time, but anything else either of you would like to add?
No, thank you so much for having us.
All right.
It's good to see you, Scott.
Yeah, likewise. Bye. Thank you for tuning into a Juneau afternoon. The weather forecast tonight, windy, rain heavy at times in the evening, lows 43 to 49. And tomorrow, rain likely in the morning, then numerous rain showers in the afternoon, highs around 49. Thanks for tuning in to a Juneau afternoon. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.